Thank you. I'm really honored this morning. I'm grateful to be standing here in your midst to give testimony of God's goodness and his love for not only me, but to you also. For that, I give him praise. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful. I mean, I feel like just taking off, but I have to stay here. So I'm just hoping that God just keeps me grounded here this morning. For you see, my life has been a journey, and sometimes crooked and sometimes bumpy. I was born in a black Catholic hospital, St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Houston, Texas. I was a very premature baby. I was only 2 years old, I mean, 2 pounds. 2 pounds when I was born. And I was very sickly due to me not being a full-term baby. I was born at 7 months instead of 9 months. I didn't get a chance to know my birth mother's love as an infant due to her dying a couple of weeks after my birth. I had stayed in the hospital a long, long, long time. I had a hernia. First of all, I was born with so many different things that was wrong with me. Right out of being birthed, they took me in and I had to have operations and different things like that. I was very sickly. Like I said, I had a host of issues. And in all actuality, I wasn't even expected to live. Because back when I was born, premature babies, they didn't live. They didn't live. They just didn't. They didn't have all of the different things that they have, that they do today. During that time, my father had an accident. He was a guy that moved houses. He physically took the houses and moved them away. Well, a jack fell on him. And he was left with 2 small sons and 2 small daughters. While at the time he was crushed. So my father found himself in a dilemma. And the dilemma was me. What was he going to do with a sickly child, a child that wasn't even expected to live, as well as take care of all his other children? So what happened was my grandmother took my 2 sisters, and, of course, he took my 2 brothers. And there I am in the hospital, incubator, wasn't expecting to live. At the time, 2 Catholic nurses, hallelujah, God has a plan, by the name of Mrs. Phillips and Mrs. Gerard, and that is my name, Philip Gerard Hobart, took care of me. They held me. They walked with me. They prayed over me while I was in the hospital. These 2 nurses was my mother because I had no mother. When I was well enough to leave the hospital, my father had agreed that I would go home with his brother and his aunt. I mean, and his sister-in-law, my aunt. See, God has a plan. Hallelujah. As I grew up in the home of my uncle and aunt, I knew and I felt the love of God. However, I learned that I had brothers and sisters, and I wanted to be where they were, which brought confusion. I was confused. What's going on here? I'm in this house, growing under this household. I have brothers and sisters. What is going on? I began to become alienated and feeling alienated. I didn't really know what to do. I was an angry young man, to tell you the truth. That's what I was. I felt now rejected, abandoned, I had a low self-esteem. I had thoughts that I didn't matter anymore. I didn't matter. I had limitations that just flooded my soul. All of these different things that was going on in my life at the time. There was a war going on inside of me. And a gulf emerged between my father and me. A gulf. I want to bring the point. My father and me. There was a gulf that had been established. I felt left out because I was reminded every day that even though I was a legitimate heir and that I should be under my father's household, I wasn't. I want to also let you know I was loved. But I wasn't in my father's house where I was supposed to belong. I'm trying to paint you a picture here. I wanted to tell someone about my struggles, but I couldn't because I didn't want to offend my uncle and aunt, who lovingly took me in to their home when I didn't have a home. I said I didn't have a home to call as my own. My uncle was a hardworking man who loved his family, me and my aunt, very much, and he would make many sacrifices to put food on the table. However, he was an alcoholic. He too was a man of grief and sorrow, a man who himself was full of pain of having lost a parent. He too, like I said, was a man full of pain himself who had lost a parent. You see, my father's father died. Let me go back. My father's father died. You see, my father had two other brothers. One brother was 7, one brother was 8, and there my father was 5. And his father died, and they were fatherless. They were fatherless. Here it is, my father's and his brothers were fatherless. Here I am, motherless. There's a pattern there going on. There's a pattern that I'm trying to paint you about the father and what happens when you're in a situation like that. As I look over the lives of my birth father and uncles at times, I made a vow, hallelujah, that I would never be like them. I want to let you know the message today, and I'm sorry I didn't start off. A charge to keep and God to glorify. Hallelujah. As I looked over the lives of my birth father and uncles at this time, I made a vow that I would never be like them. I entered into a covenant with my flesh. I don't know about you, but I'm being honest. I entered into a covenant with my flesh. My very mouth was the one that ensnared me. My very mouth was the thing that trapped me and held me to that vow. Now, you know, when you make vows, you know, you can just haphazardly, I'm not going to do that. What happens? What happens? The vow that you make, you don't keep that vow. Is that right? You break that vow. The very same thing that you say that you're not going to do, guess what happens? You end up doing it. That was me. As I look back over the time, I did it out of pain and hurt that I had in my heart. But likewise, these brothers also had made the same vow a covenant like I made as sons without fathers. See, they made a vow that they weren't going to be like their great-grandfather, their grandfather, their father. I'm not going to be like them. But they found themselves in the same situation that their forefathers were. They made a vow that they couldn't keep. And likewise, I was following the same pattern. I made a vow. I made a charge that I could not keep. So, as you see, their father abandoned them because his father and their father and so on had to find work. His father was taken away during slavery. So what I'm trying to say, there was a pattern that had been set up. And I want to go back over that. Their father was abandoned because his father had to leave. And his family had to find work. And his father was taken away during slavery. So all of those different things were set up that they continue as a family to be ensnared by this vow. So as you look through the generations of my family, you will see fleshly vows made out of pain and being wounded, wondering why their lives was a wreck, turning to other things to fill the void of not having the love of the Father. Up until 12 years ago, I wanted nothing to do with my father. I despised the man. I can be honest about that. She knows. I didn't want anything to do with my father. Because you know one of the things? I look just like him. I look just like my dad is 6'5". Splitting image of my father. And I didn't want anything to do with my father. We would speak and do all the little dainty things. Hello, hi. Putting on a front. All of these different things. But I didn't want to stay around him. I didn't want to be around my father. I despised him. And the reason that I despised him, because my heart was bleeding. I was hurt. Guess what? He was hurt. He was still reeling. All of those years, his father had been dead all of those years, but his life was still reeling from being fatherless. Trying to fill his life with stuff. What can I fill it with? Fleshly things, a woman, alcohol, all of these things. The heart just bleeding. Trying to put something there that would patch that bleeding heart. And trying to find it, and never finding anything that would patch that heart. You see, wounded people, they act a certain way. I don't know about you. Some of you may be in the same situation. But it came to a head. Hallelujah. It's programmed into their soul and is acted out in various types of ways. I'm telling you, I acted out. I had ulcers. I had, what do you call those things? All kinds of things. It's just would come up. I stuttered so bad as a child. I stuttered as an adult because I was so angry inside. But the word of God says, the crooked roads shall become straight and the rough way smooth. I said, the word of God says, the crooked roads shall become straight and the rough way smooth. That's Luke 3:5. I begin at the urging of my wife. Hallelujah. God knows how to use wives. God knows how to use people around you. Hallelujah. I praise God for that. Through the Holy Spirit to communicate with my father to bring about healing. Not only to myself, but for my father and whoever else that I would come in contact with. See, not only was I lousy, but I was making the ones around me lousy as well. You don't hear me. I was making others around me lousy because I was hurting, because I came from a family of orphans that didn't know their father. And then on top of that, then I don't know my mother. They didn't know how, my father didn't know how to meet my needs. I couldn't go to him. He didn't know really how to be a father. Hallelujah. And then I didn't know a mother's love. I was in a bad shape. I don't know about you, but I'm being real today. The Holy Spirit. Oh, I want to go back here. Boy, I tell you, just like I said, the flesh wants to act. I resisted, of course, and gave an excuse that said he had a lot of explaining to do. My father had a lot of explaining to do to me. So I resisted. I wanted to hear his side of the story first before I would open up to him. Do you have some excuses today? Is there some things that you say, I'm not going to do, I'm not going to even make a budge until I hear from somebody else. Somebody else has to get down on their knees to me and explain to me what's going on. That was me. Oh, yeah, by the way, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. See, it wasn't like I was out there in the world, saints. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, knowing Christ, living for Christ, but here I am in this dilemma. So I'm being real with you here. Again, the Holy Spirit began to deal with my own heart about the limitations of man and his flesh. I'm going to say that again. Because God wants to deal with each and every one of us about the limitations of our flesh. He wants to get down to where the rubber meets the road. He wants to deal with the vows that we have made. Vows that could never be fulfilled. In your strength as well as my own strength. The word of God says they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I wasn't displaying that at the time. I was displaying something else. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking with God, saying that I'm one of God's sons. I wasn't displaying it. But God says they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Isaiah 61:3. I had struggled in this area for years and it had come to a head. See, God is bringing things to a head in your life. I don't know. Because this morning as God was revealing to him, there's a shift. There's a shift coming. Some of you don't understand, but there's a shift. You're trying to stay on this sinking sand, hallelujah, but there's a shift. If you find yourself stumbling and if you're not at the level point that you once was, the shift has come. The shift has come. I'm gonna say it again. The shift has come. If you're on sinking sand, if you've driven a stake in sinking sand, just like when you go to a beach and the sand starts eroding, you see how when you go to the beach and the beach starts eroding? You can't stand on that sand anymore. Is that right? Because what happens? You'll get swept out to what? You'll get swept out to what? See, it was based on my willing to forgive and to allow healing to not only touch me, but those around me. I had locked myself up in a prison and had thrown away the key and was perpetuating a lie and giving place to a familiar spirit. I want to stop there. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. But that was a familiar spirit. Because I want you to understand, we're in warfare. Wherever the enemy sees a little crack, if you give him some ground, he'll take that ground. Any place that you give to the enemy, he'll stake that place and he'll call it his own. But see, what I did was that familiar spirit of the orphan had attached itself to me because I had given it liberty to stay with me. Because of what? I didn't want to forgive. I didn't want to forgive. I held it against my father. How dare you? How dare you? And I didn't see the blessing in it. Saints, I was blind with fury. I didn't see what God had done. Because you see, and God in his infinite wisdom, he knew that my mother was going to die. He knew that my father was tractor was going to fall on him. He knew all of these different things. But me and my fury couldn't see it like the father could see it. Because I was looking at it from a fleshly point of view. Hallelujah. Ha. Hallelujah. My actions were the actions of someone with an orphan spirit. And the Holy Spirit wanted me to turn my eyes towards him. And not on my natural father. Do you have your eyes on? What do you have your eyes on today? Is that something that you have your eyes on instead of Jesus? Is that something that you've been dealing with, God, that God wants to deal with you in your heart, but you refuse just like I was, get full of fury, got a familiar spirit where the enemy just coming in and just ravaging your family, and you wondering why, what is going on? I'm here today to tell you as a living witness of what God can do. See, the enemy comes what? To seek, kill, and what? To destroy. Now, what is he doing? Here it is, you go plant a vineyard, and then all of a sudden, you come back out, and you have nothing. And you go back, and you continue to plant again, and you hitting your head up against the wall. And then you go back out, and you bring somebody out with you, and say, look, let's plant this together. You go out there, plant it together, both of you come back. What happened? Something came in and what? God has indeed brought healing and restoration to my father, who has been turned around by the power of God and now has been restored as a son of the Most High. God was working on me and told me, you better pray for your father. Oh, I began to pray because I know my father. My father was a self-reliant man. Hallelujah. You didn't mess with my dad. But God had to turn him around. God had to turn him around like he was turning me around. And there was that transition. It was a transition from the father, from a natural father, to the Heavenly Father. I said, from a natural father to a Heavenly Father. Both of us had to get down and we had to what? Repent. Turn our eyes to who? Turn our eyes to God. I want to read John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, all of you are the beloved. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, we're in a process, hallelujah. We're in a shift. I mean, here it is. How come things can't be the same? Change. Because God is shifting you. One time, because when God sees you on sinking sand, he says, shift. He says, shift. Get over here. It's coming this way. And you need to go to a higher ground. But some of us are so used to being on the low ground. And God is saying, come up. Come up. Come up. And that's what God is wanting us to do. Now, that's just a part of the testimony. Now I'm getting into the meat of things. The charge to keep. Number one, this is what God told me. Trust God to open up the eyes of my understanding. We're going to have circumstances. We're going to have situations. We're going to have trials. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have things that come to us. But you know what? When you're holding on to the anchor of God's word, that is the thing that keeps you from being swept away by the things that I just described. Because that is one of many different things that that you're going to deal with in this life. Psalms 13:1 says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Light my eyes." David was crying out, "God, light my eyes. Lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in the mercy. My heart shall rejoice in our salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me." Number two, trust God as my Father, who doesn't fail and can't fail. Again, like I said, we have to take our eyes off the natural things and put our things on God. God will not allow me to be ashamed. Because I dealt with a lot of shame. I mean, as a child, I was called all kinds of names. I was ashamed. But see, God will not allow me to be ashamed. And he will not allow my enemies to triumph over me. Number three, trust the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in God's path and truth. God has ordained purpose and destiny for me before I was even in my mother's womb. See, God is destiny and purpose is written all over you. All over you. I mean, purpose and destiny is written all over you. This is what the word of God says. John 15:1 says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except is abide in the vine." See, God has a plan. See, if we abide in Jesus, if we abide in him, we become fruitful. We fulfill the purpose and the destiny that God has called us to. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to read all of John 15, but you know what John 15 says. Number four, trust God to transform my life and bring revelation about sonship in the kingdom of God. God does not have orphans. He has sons. Men have orphans, but God doesn't. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness," because I'm telling you, I worked that thing. I worked that thing for, like 30-some years. I worked that my own righteousness. I wasn't good at it, but I worked it. Man, I worked that thing. Hey, I worked that righteousness full of myself. You know what that my own righteousness got me? Ulcers, tiredness, weariness, stress, tension, grumpiness, all of those things. Not only that, but it affected my wife. It affected my children. It affected all of those that are around me. You know, people like, hey, Phil, oh, Lord, here you come. They didn't say it to my face. See, people are not saying it to your face. But I can tell you this, somebody is praying for you. The prayers of the righteous avail much. There is somebody praying for you and I. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained. See, I haven't attained. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. You don't see big wings on me? You don't see a halo? I'm not there yet. You know, I'm not yet. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of, Christ Jesus. Number 5, put no confidence in my own flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. I'm not gonna belabor time here, but I want to talk about glorifying God. Because like I said, a charge to keep and God to glorify. Psalms 22 verse 23 says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. I said, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. I said, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All you seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you see the seed of Israel, for he had not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. God knows your afflictions. God knows your stuff. Huh? God knows your stuff. He knows where you are. You think God doesn't know where your stuff is? Oh, he knows your stuff. Oh, he got that. He knows it. He knows it. He knows it. You're the only one that's deceived. Neither has he hid his face from him, but when he cried out to him, he heard. God hears our cries. Hallelujah. In spite of all the junk and the mess that we may find ourselves in, God knows. My praise shall be of you in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. We got to seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the people of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. God wants you fat, not physically fat. But you know what God wants? He wants you to be fruitful. Hallelujah. See, you don't know. When you come in the arena, things change. Environments change. Hallelujah. That's just the way it's supposed to be. God says, wherever you place your feet, that's what he was telling us. Wherever you place your feet, I've given it to you. What is that? It wasn't so much about the physical. It was about the environment change. See, you are the ones that are agents of change to this world. Hallelujah. People are looking for Jesus. You know what? They're looking at you. You are it. You're the body of Christ. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Finally, my brethren, 1 Peter 4:1. It says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Ha! Arm yourselves. Ooh, what's that word? Arm yourselves? Yes, arm yourselves. Likewise with the same mind. For he that had suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Okay, that means that I have some responsibility then, right? Is that what the word's saying? This is not Phil. This is God. This is what Jesus said. He says, arm yourself, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. What does the Gentiles do? What does the world do? Flesh things, right? When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, Were we supposed to be what? Dead to ourselves, but alive to who? To Christ. Like I said, not too many baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I wasn't walking this out. I wasn't dead to myself. That was an old man, man. I'm telling you, he wanted out. He wanted, that man wanted to be alive. He wanted to take control of everything. But my God tells me what I should do. And I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to belay the time. But today, you've heard my story. But what is yours? What is your story? What is God asking you to do? Is that some stuff that God has his finger on that you're not allowing him to do, that you say, hey, I don't care, whatever? I'm telling you, you're standing on sinking sand. You're standing on sinking sand today. God wants to deal with your stuff because he wants us to enjoy sonship. He doesn't want us to be orphans, tossed around to and fro, full of bitterness, full of resentment, not fulfilling purpose, not fulfilling destiny, not being fruitful in this life, but going around always angry, holding grudges, and saying that we're Christians. That's how come one of the reasons why people don't want anything to do with us. They see two sides. They see two-facedness. They see you're saying one thing and you're doing something else. You're fooling others, but you're not fooling God. So today, the altar is open. If God is dealing with your heart, let him deal with your heart. If it's some come to a head, if the things that are on the inside is actually manifesting to the outside, if there's some aches, if there's some pains, if there's some bitterness, if there's some things that are in your heart, man, I tell you, you need to deal with that stuff today. Because you know what? It will kill you. Not only will it kill you, it will destroy your life and those that are around you. So today, if God is dealing with you, let him deal with your heart. Let him bring healing. Let him bring deliverance. And let him bring completeness. Thank you.